Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seeing Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. I'm your host, Sam, from that YouTube channel Seeing Through Glass, and don't worry, very shortly I am going to be joined by Mr. Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales. But those of you watching here on the Behind the Glass YouTube channel may have noticed I'm in unfamiliar surroundings. Well, welcome to my self-isolation. Like so many others, I have taken the advice of the government and medical bodies to self-isolate and to practice as much social distancing as possible. I don't have any symptoms, but I'm trying to do my part to reduce potential spread and also infection of this bloody damn coronavirus. I'm just going to come out and say it. I will be honest. Scared. I'm not sure I'd say I'm scared, but I am fed up and I am concerned about this whole COVID-19 situation. It's affecting so many people around the world. And I would have to say, I think I'm still one of the lucky ones. Firstly, I have a job which allows me to still get out and work during these times. I can still sit here and create content for you guys. But also in the UK, our conditions or our situation isn't as extreme as other countries. So whilst I'm sure we have got tough times ahead right now, I probably have to say that I am lucky. My thoughts are with so many of you that may have been affected in a more, well, detrimental way. I think whether it's health or work or life, all of us are in for some tough times. And yeah, it's a bit depressing. It's a bit strange. We don't really know where this is all going to go, but I think we have to stay positive. And my sort of one way of trying to remain positive is to keep creating content. For me, it's a good way to firstly keep busy, to distract myself, but also try and still earn a living. Because yes, of course, this is my job, this is my career. And while so many of you may not be able to go out and work at the moment or run businesses, I am fortunate in the sense where I can. And so I will hope to do so as a way to entertain and distract you as well. I don't want it to be a sort of selfish thing of, oh, you know, I've got to go out there and make content. I am trying to follow as much advice as possible. And as I say, practice a bit of self-isolation and social distancing, which is why for this intro, I am alone. But do not worry. I did tease it. Tony is coming. Not here, but he's coming to this podcast. And that's kind of what I wanted to update you all on and maybe reassure some of you on, because I've been receiving a lot of questions as to like what's going to happen with Seeing Through Glass and Behind the Glass in the coming weeks and months. Well, there is a big update coming on Seeing Through Glass later in the week, which we're talking about what you can expect from that channel moving forward. But here in terms of the podcast, we are still going to be pushing for weekly episodes. Last week, when some of these sort of early news came out from the UK government about how things were going to be changing, Tony and I sat down and recorded actually a couple of episodes just so that we could bank some and be ready in case, you know, some pretty draconian measures got put in place very quickly. At the moment, we are still not on full lockdown. There is still a bit of freedom of movement, but we are trying our best to socially basically stay away from each other and also, yeah, do a bit of self-isolation. So moving forward, it is unlikely that Tony and I will be in the same room when we record these episodes, but do not fear, because we've been working hard on coming up with ways to ensure that the episodes still go out. And actually, my podcasting production desk allows for super high quality phone-ins. So what's going to happen is Tony and I will still be recording weekly episodes, putting them out on Monday night as per usual. And for those of you that listen to the podcast only, don't actually watch it, hopefully nothing will change. It should sound exactly the same. But for those of you that watch, it will be a slightly different experience, because rather than Tony and I being in the same room, it might be split screen. But fingers crossed, we can still have our absolute inane banter? Is it bad to say that I have banter on this show? Maybe that's a bit egotistical. But anyway, hopefully we'll still have great chat, be able to interact with each other, have a bit of fun. And, you know, it's going to be tough because doing podcast episodes talking about the best cars to buy for 50 grand feels a little inappropriate. But at the same time, we don't want to get completely weighed down by Corona or COVID-19 and just, you know, every single episode be like, God, things are crap, aren't they? As I say, I want to entertain where possible. I don't want to claim that we are entertaining because, again, that sounds a bit full of ourselves. But we will try our best to keep things lighthearted and keep things relevant for when the world gets itself back together, because it will. At some point, we will all be living our lives again and looking back going, God, that Corona was awful, wasn't it? But we're cracking on. So yes, I'm going to stop talking for now. I'm going to remind you all that if you are watching on YouTube, to subscribe and turn on notifications, because yes, weekly episodes with Tony and I are coming. And then if you're listening, make sure to keep following for those episodes as well. Unlikely to be many guests in the weeks ahead, but who knows? For now, I will be quiet and let you enjoy one of two episodes that Tony and I recorded last week when we were still allowing ourselves to be in the same room. I hope you enjoy.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hot off the press, Formula One. I know we went in on this last week. And by the way, people didn't enjoy your football chat.
No, I didn't think they would. It's a car channel.
It is a car channel. Yeah. We were a bit nervous at the time, but I think you should have been like, no, don't worry, mate. People love a bit of footy. But wait a minute.
What was the minutes per watch? Was it still high?
Oh yeah, no, we still smashed it.
Okay, fine. Yeah. And the views for the actual,
great.
So
by the way,
they did not like it that much.
Can we just pick up on this? Tony has become such a stat man for this podcast. He messaged me and then we go, what's the average minutes watched? How long's the retention? What's the like to dislike ratio?
It's the only thing I like, I don't really care about anything else, but I actually like doing this.
You went kind of the wrong direction with YouTube last year, didn't you? You got lost without me. Yeah, whilst I was off traveling the world, you got
my calming influence on YouTube.
Your guidance.
My guidance, yeah.
I've brought you back down. You went a bit haywire for a while. Yeah, I did. I'm glad you've reined it in. Anyway, yeah, hot off the press, F1. We've just heard that the season has been pushed back even further. Basically, they were hoping to kind of kick things off in Europe. It was a very vague claim when they binned off Australia, Bahrain, China, and Vietnam. They said, we're going to be starting in Europe. And it was quite an unrealistic claim, I think. So we now know that the Dutch Grand Prix, Azerbaijan, and Monaco are also all canned or postponed. Also, the bigger news is the 2021 regulations have been delayed a year. So they're now going to be coming in 2022. There's whole new cars and everything like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, which I think makes sense. I think it's good. My concern was financially, was it going to put too much of a burden on the manufacturers like Mercedes, Renault, Ferrari, etc., Honda? And I know previously you've said, oh, look, you know, in terms of their global budget, Formula One's probably quite small. But someone made a good point on Twitter saying that with everything that's going on and people being laid off left, right, and center, would it been appropriate for that manufacturer then to be spending a whole ton of money on F1? It would have, I think, on a corporate comms level, looked a bit grim. So I think that makes sense. What I'm hearing now from my sources is that they're going to stretch the season from 20 to 21, a bit like WEC, mm-hmm. World Endurance. So mm-hmm. it'll be like almost like a September to September mm-hmm. With an extra long to get all 22 races in. So that will be just those cars used across the sort of 1.5 seasons, and then we'll go into 2022.
Okay.
Which I think is not a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of racing, let's get back to it. My question is, what's that going to do for driver contracts? Because we had a lot of drivers, and we spoke about this again, we're sort of slightly repeating ourselves, but it's what's going to happen with Corona. Just go over the same topics.
The only good thing is the next podcast after this will be all exhausted out with Corona. So
yeah, good point.
Skip this one. next one will be fine.
Don't tell them to skip this one. Never.
Don't skip this one.
But if you're not into F1, maybe skip this section. Yeah. But anyway, let me continue because I'm on a rant here and I'm doing well. So yes, we spoke about how Hamilton, Vettel, Ricciardo, all of these big top name drivers are theoretically out of contract at the end of this year. And we were all excited about potential driver changes for 2021. How is that going to play out now?
Because they'll just extend it.
Yeah, you would think they'd all just do one-year extensions, won't they?
For sure, yeah.
And they'll now go for the 2022 move, which I think gives a stronger possibility of Hamilton to Ferrari.
Possibly, yeah, because he's coming. It'd be 1 year close to the end of his career.
And I think, you know, we still assume that he's going to be the 7-time world champion. At that point, he would have got the whole Merck thing out of his life. I think Vettel definitely would have got his Ferrari sort of situation.
Might have retired.
Well, there we go. Mm. So is that something you'd like to see? Do you want to see Hamilton at Ferrari, or you don't really care?
No. For a romantic. Ooh. Romantic point of view, maybe it'd been... Oh, I shouldn't have said romantic now. I mean, I cannot stand them buttons. It keeps going on and pressing it. Good. Very good. Yeah, from a romantic point of view, it would be nice. Because even though Mercedes have dominated the sport for 7 years, 8 years, or however long it's been... Ferrari's still the pinnacle of F1, right?
It's Ferrari.
Yeah, Ferrari. It is, you're right, it is Ferrari. So, yeah, it would be nice to see in there, even for just for a season.
I'm sure I know this, but do you follow a team or a driver in F1?
Normally Ferrari, in the team.
You don't really care who's driving.
Well, I like Vettel, don't I? But yeah. But obviously, I don't really like Hamilton as a person, but... he's an unbelievable driver. But yeah, more for a Ferrari as a team.
Are there any drivers you don't like? Do you get all that Bottas is a... Yeah.
No, like, he hasn't really got a lot... I like personality people. So I like Ricciardo. Obviously, he's got a personality.
There's no one you boo, though?
Not really, no. Because I'm not, like... I'm not a nerd like you. You know, I'm not, you know...
You love saying that, don't you?
Yeah.
Just rubbing that
well, it's
in.
True. I mean, it's a thing.
No, but somebody asked me the other day about this because obviously I'm a Ferrari guy, but I don't follow teams in F1. I follow drivers. But for example, and so therefore my team allegiances can sway a lot. Right now I'll be sitting there going, oh, damn you, Ferrari, you took the victory away. Hamilton goes to Ferrari, I'll be like, damn you, Mercedes, you silver weirdos. So that's why I was asking.
So drivers, you're Hamilton, right?
Yeah, I'm Hamilton, but I'm over it. Do you know what I mean? Like he's done it. So
boring.
Yeah, I'm Ricciardo, Norris, Leclerc,
okay.
And Albon.
Okay.
I don't like Verstappen.
See, I don't mind Verstappen because he's a bit arrogant.
I see. That's what I don't like.
Okay, fine.
I think he's genius. I think he's brilliant. I think he's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Juan Pablo Montoya.
But why do you like Hamilton then? Because Hamilton's arrogant.
Yes, but I feel like Hamilton earned his arrogance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but Verstappen will. I mean, you have to have a certain amount of arrogancy to succeed. Yeah.
Like, of course, self-belief.
Self-confidence and self-belief.
You got that, mate, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
You don't.
What a low blow. Okay, well, look, we've just dominated the first 15 minutes, a bit like last
Again.
Week with chat that people probably didn't want to hear. So now we can get into it properly. Before we come onto the sort of overall car market and potential sways with Corona, somebody mentioned something on Instagram the other day. We talk a lot about collectible cars and mainly European collectible cars. Have you noticed, and what are your thoughts on JDM collectibles, the rise of R34 Nissan GTRs, Tommy Mackinnon edition Evos, etc. Does that come through your door?
Not really. It's not what I do. So occasionally we'll get someone ring up and say they've got something like that in part exchange, but we don't normally entertain it. It's just not what we do. I know it's a thing, like the old Toyota Supra and stuff like that, and the Subaru...
Impressors?
Yeah, was it the P1?
The P1, I think, is good, but there's a... we're both being showed up here a little bit, but there's a better one than the P1.
RB22? Yeah, no.
What's the...
22B.
22B, there you go. Well done.
That's the really Larry one.
That's the really Larry one.
And really rare.
Were you ever into them, though? Like, at any point in your life, you must have had... Because we've all gone through that stage, right, of wanting Evos and Imprezas.
So I had an Impreza STI import.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God. I had one when I was...
Import. I love that it was an import as well.
WRX STI. It was a black car on a P-Reg. So 98.
Okay.
300 odd horsepower. It'd been tuned, actually. And I tell you, I got it from a company called SVA Imports in Folkestone.
Oh, nice.
And that's what they did. They imported Japanese stuff. And it was a big thing then. In the 90s and the early 2000s, it was a big thing. And this thing was so fast. It was
How old were you then? So 99?
Like 20.
Okay.
Perfect. Something like
perfect.
That.
Perfect.
So, I mean, it was the fastest thing I've ever been in. It was so fast.
And so Larry.
So Larry. And I think I've spoken about this before. I had a Nissan GTI-R, the Pulsar.
Yeah.
Well, I've done blew the gearbox up on one of them. But
of course you did.
Yeah. But yeah, I went through that.
Okay.
And then I went through the Renault 5 turbo stage.
Of course, I forgot about that, but yes.
Tuned.
Well
Renault
done.
5 turbos.
Came back to the Europeans, basically.
Yeah, and then I grew up about 25 and bought a BMW. Convertible one.
What disaster.
And that's when I got my ego.
Yeah. Shipping around London in your convertible
that's
Beamer.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh my God. I always lusted after... WRX and Evos, but I never quite went there. I had a mate who lived up the road who had it must have been just an Impreza. I don't even know if it's a WRX, but he kitted it out and he drove it like an absolute hooligan. And I was like, that's so cool. But I think by the time I came round to being able to semi-afford them, I just went down the European route.
Yeah.
Because like all of my mates were in Beamers and Mercs and Audis.
That's
so that's just the way I went. So I missed out on that whole thing. But last year, especially whilst in Canada, I got involved with that whole JDM scene and started to learn more about the sort of really valuable rare ones, because a bit like with Lamborghini, it seems like Nissan and Toyota have done so many super rare variants.
Yeah, yeah.
I went in Hong Kong out in a Honda Civic. I don't even know what it was, but it was amazing. It was a super rare, bespoke, track-focused carbon fiber.
Like an
Civic.
Integrale or?
No, it was like a Type R times 10. I'm going to try if I can Google it. Well, I'm not going to Google it now because it'll take me too long.
Yeah.
But it was super cool. And so I think that's where the value seems to lie in a lot of these JDM collectibles, is these super rare and actually Japan-only specific versions that then get imported in.
So back then it was the rage, and obviously the Ford RS market, which was huge, which is still big now.
Still big. Yeah, but you slagged me off the other day when I was posting a Focus RS, the little bubble blue one.
Oh,
in the previous generation. You went in. Well, why are you posting this? It's like, it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
And of course, Tony's like, oh, crap, I hasn't got sat nav that one, so slag it off.
Well, up until about probably before I knew you, I had a Escort Cosworth. The old Wowtail one.
Oh, out of nowhere.
And I had it for about 7 years.
No, you didn't.
I did, and I never drove it. So
You are so Kent, mate.
It come in part exchange, okay. And I thought, oh, I'll keep hold of it. I've always wanted one, and I'll keep hold of it, and I'll never, ever sell it. Anyway, I never drove it. Done 65,000 miles. It was a real lovely car. Had the Lux packs. So I had the lever and the sunroof and whatnot. I had it serviced at Ford every year. I mean, I never drove it.
Look at him.
Yeah, it was Mallard green.
Mallard green. Oh my God, make green grey again. I love this.
And honestly, I remember driving it the odd few times, and you'd have no power, big load of power, change gear. That was what it's like a diesel.
Did it live up to your hype, or was it a little bit like?
I hated it because I'd got to the point where, obviously, I was in my 30s then, and I'd started buying supercars and stuff.
Sure, show off.
Nicer cars. Yeah. Not show off, just work hard. Okay. That's what happens. Yeah. And I thought, I cannot have that. I do not. I mean, it's crap.
I feel like when the first few times I came to your showroom, was it parked right at the back?
Right at the back.
I think I saw
it
the first couple of times I came.
You might have, yeah.
And it was parked right at the back. It might even be in one of my early videos from Gravelwood.
do a, you know, like a...
What?
You know, what's it called? What do you call it?
I don't know.
No, like where you put a
overlay.
Picture... Overlay. That's it. So I knew I needed you for something in life.
Editing techniques, or what's called words. Okay, I'll put an overlay right now. Hopefully, if I did get that clip, because I definitely, yeah, now it's starting to ring a bell. But okay, so I think I can appreciate why, and I feel like there is a market for JDM collectibles, mm-hmm. but still, in the UK at least, I feel like they don't get talked about as much. I guess because they're harder to get hold of, like harder to import. We don't see them so much. But there is huge value, and you do see them passing through every now and again. Mainly, I feel like Skylines seem to be the big money items with the JDM.
The 33s and 34s
exactly, yeah. Seem to be the big money items. The fives, Nismos still do quite well, don't they?
On the R35?
Yeah. No, Nismos are bad news.
They're just a lot of money, mate, aren't they?
Yeah, but do they lose a ton of money?
Well, I mean...
You don't know.
I mean, Nissan GTRs in general, R35s, they do hold their money relatively well. I mean, if you bought one new at 58, 60 grand in 2009 or 10, the early car, I mean, they're still 30 grand now.
It's not too 10 bad,
years
is it?
Later.
Yeah. That's 30,000 pounds of good... Good driving.
It's £3,000 a year. I mean, it's for nothing.
Well done. You're good at maths today.
Well, yeah. I mean, I run a motor dealership. I mean, that's the only thing.
You've got a calculator on your phone, mate. Don't get too ahead of yourself.
I mean, I can add up. It's the only thing I can do.
Two plus two.
Count money. Seven.
Okay. Well, yeah. As I say, I think it's worth looking to. I'm always keen to check out the JDM market a little bit more. And I do actually keep track. There are a couple of websites, I guess, rivals to that company you mentioned that were down in Folkestone back in the day that are now online. And actually, someone bought in the other day from Japan a 360 challenge car that'd been made road legal. I got so many messages about it. Like, super cool. Like, I do kind of love the idea. But I think it is big business still now to bring these cars in from Japan and see if they can.
No, I don't know if it is.
Oh, you don't think it is?
No. I don't think it is anymore. I think the import taxes and the cut to get them out of Japan, I think it's...
Oh, interesting. Because I would have assumed that there was some money to be made there if you could, like, you know, because you can't find them here. If you can bring in some crazy limited Supra or whatever that no one... I would have thought you could make a quick buck. But... No,
yeah, I mean, you can make a quick buck, but I don't think you make a living out of it.
Fair.
I think if you want one and you want to go to Japan, you just go and get it yourself.
Okay. Good tip. Yeah. Thank you. Maybe that's the auction we should go to. Maybe we should go to a Japanese car auction.
They're insane.
Mate, they're insane.
You press buttons on a thing.
Yeah. Once Corona's done, like, that's
well, that's it's done it. Out there.
A good point.
It's probably the safest place in the world now, China.
Okay, well, bringing things back to European marks. Now, I know usually you would cringe at this moment, but I have an Aston Martin to talk to you about that I think you might get excited by, because this week we saw pictures of the Valkyrie on the road. On-road testing now happening with the Valkyrie. I mean, so many rumours seem to swirl this car. 1 month, I hear people saying it's never going to happen. It's being binned off. There's no money in it. And the next month, it's on the road being tested. So clearly, they are pushing ahead with Valkyrie, which I think is exciting to see. Did you see the pictures of it?
No, but I don't see how they're going to can it, mate. I mean, they spent too much money. I think it's got to come now, isn't it?
I kind of agree. But, yeah. But there is still, you know, just question marks. I don't know, why am I typing something completely wrong?
Wagamama he's putting.
I was thinking about
what we're going to have for dinner.
Yeah. Don't give them a plug. They definitely don't pay it.
No.
Look at this thing, mate. This thing looks insane on the road.
Yeah, it is cool.
I mean, it's
and I would like to go in them. I'd like to go in one.
And in like a road spec. Look at that diffuser.
Yeah.
It's going to be next level. I mean, this is not a car. This is a spaceship. This is, obviously, for those of you who have been living under a rock, this is the Adrian Newey design. So the man who can see air. Red Bull's aerodynamicist for many years. And McLaren and Williams. Anyway, I'm getting carried away. he's designed this in a collaboration with Aston Martin. There were some clips of it going around track. Did you see that as well a few months ago?
I see it a few months ago. And this is the rival for the Project One Mercedes, right?
Well, I think rival is... Yes, I guess, I suppose so. I don't think they will be rivals. I think this Valkyrie now will stand out by itself.
Really?
I think there was a period of time where people were like, oh yeah, Project One, and then Regera, I guess, or like something. But this Valkyrie is going to be so next level in terms of on-track performance. You know, naturally aspirated V12, revving to something like 14,000 RPM or something stupid. It's essentially an old-school F1 engine. Aerodynamics through the roof. The thing will be sucked to the ground. They reckon they'll be able to drive it upside down you know, in a tunnel or something like that at certain speeds. Yeah, I mean, it will be insane. And I think to see one on the road will be nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope we do. I hope they're not like those kind of cars that people just kind of hide away.
Yeah.
Looking at like things like McLaren P1 GTRs, probably are going to see tons of them on the road, probably on the King's Road, but
Sloane
Street or wherever it might be. But yeah, go on. I know you usually go in on Aston, but you have to be kind of excited by that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd love to go in one. I'd love to drive one, obviously, but yeah, I'm not like...
It's not something, if you won the Euro Millions, you wouldn't start to be like, oh,
no.
Really?
No.
Why?
I just wouldn't buy an Aston.
But mate...
I don't care what it is. No, it's just my personal opinion.
This is not like, oh, it's an Aston, like...
Well, it is.
Okay.
It's not like it's always an Aston.
In a few weeks' time, should hazmat suits allow, I'm going to be getting a manual Vantage just for a couple of days to have a go. I'm going to come and pick you up. I'm determined.
Which one?
The new one.
The AMR thing?
No. You can now get a manual box in the standard Vantage. Okay. I'm determined to prove to you that Paul there's Wallace something to like.
This, Paul Wallace did try
did he?
In a DB... I don't even know what it was. It was a V12.
But mate, the Valkyrie, you can't go, oh, it's an Aston Martin, so not fussed. Well,
no, I mean, I'm not fussed at the moment. When I get in it, I might change my mind. I'm not fussed because it's an Aston Martin. If it was a Ferrari, I'd wet myself.
Yeah, so, I'm fuming about this. Okay. I think you're wrong.
All right, well, I might be wrong, but as it stands at the minute, I'm not interested.
I think you should be open-minded. But if it had a Ferrari badge, you'd be wetting yourself. You'd be freaking out.
Yeah, but only to the point where... I can't afford one anyway because I've got my Koenigsegg coming.
Of course. Sorry. I'm sorry. I totally forgot about your Gemera. Any updates on that? Is it hit the production line?
I'm glad you said Gemera because I forgot what it was.
So much money. Just he can't even keep up with his own orders.
Yeah.
I'm so upset that you still fly this flag of Aston Martin dislike and the fact that you're keeping that even with the Valkyrie, because I think this
is
a project.
Well, I might change my mind.
No, hey, cool, fine, no worries. Everyone can have their own opinion. But this is a particular car which is not like, oh, they've put a V12 in a Vantage. Like, this is a completely bespoke creation that is going to redefine, I believe, what road cars can be, especially from an aerodynamic point of view. Yes, question marks over to how and when it's going to get to the road, prices, cost, reliability, etc. But as a thing, as a creation, I think this is going to take us leaps and bounds forwards. And I like that it's got a heritage badge, that this isn't some out there, the newy car, you know, like some rogue small brand that we've never heard of as a standout car. This has got the heritage of an Aston Martin badge on it.
Okay,
like
so if I had a choice between Project One and the Valkyrie, Project One. If I drove them both.
Yeah.
And I like the Aston. I would say, actually, I've changed my mind. Aston have convinced me different. I've had some bad experience with Aston Martin.
Fair.
So that's why I don't like them. If they bring a car out that I like, I'll say fair play. You bought a good car, and I'll tell the truth.
Okay. Good man.
Yeah.
another topic that somebody suggested on Instagram earlier in the week was along the line of these sort of super bespoke cars, and the fact that nowadays something that manufacturers seem to be pushing very hard, or they were until Corona came along, is sort of in-house customization and exclusivity. Thank you. I guess basically MSO for McLaren, Porsche exclusive, Ferrari Atelier, do they still call
Atelier,
it?
Atelier, yeah.
You know, so basically going in and taking a car, which we all know is already expensive and
messing it up.
Well, yeah, messing up or allowing customers to put their own touch on it. And I feel like it sort of came down from the Koenigseggs and the Paganis allowing these sort of ultimate customizations. But it's also the fact that I think people are just too rich.
And I actually think that McLaren do that bit better than anyone else.
Ah, MSO. Interesting. Okay, so these were my thoughts. So you think MSO are the best at this?
Their paintwork is, I don't really like their finish too much, but their paintwork is very good in terms of the sparkle and the actual colour that they managed to get. And yeah, I think that's, from that part of the business, I think that's very good.
Because I feel like Ferrari, it's still a little bit controlled.
No, they're asleep. They were asleep,
but also it's a bit like, you know, you go and you say, I want blue seats. They go, sad. I don't think I know.
That's exactly what they do.
It's not really personalization. It's kind of like, you know, you're told what you can have.
Do you know what they
do?
They say you want blue seats and they go, let's go and have some lunch. And they get you drunk and then you come back and you say, are you sure you want blue seats?
You know what? I think you are so right. I literally can see they go, we've got some pasta. I go, oh, Schumacher. And the best thing about Schumacher is he always had the black seats. You know the black seats? Yeah. And you go back and go, I want black seats like Schumacher. And they go, fantastic choice, sir. So, and also, we have seen, I guess, a small handful of super bespoke Atelier-esque Ferraris that come over the years. TDFs, I can remember a few. Mm-hmm. Was it the Lusso or was it TDF that had those front kind of lights down in the grill? That was a London car. That was super cool.
Yeah, I didn't
cool.
see that car.
Some 812s that have popped up over now again, and Pistas as well. Some very nice, special bespoke Pistas. But you're right, McLaren seem to go that step further.
They do, yeah.
With what they'll allow someone to do and the levels and all the different components that
and
are.
And the detail.
The detail. Yeah. And so that has to be applauded. Senna is basically a showroom for MSO.
They're all like one of ones, mate. They're all one of ones.
I mean, and every element is different. Yeah. You know, coloured carbon fibres that you could never imagine. Porsche exclusive. I literally just did the 997 Sport Classic, which was kind of a launch car for Porsche exclusive. That was all about showing like what we can do.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's sort of, I mean, PTS is something a little bit different, the paint sample range, which is much bigger in other parts of the world than in the UK.
But you still get told.
Do you?
Yeah, but it's not like McLaren, mate. That's what I said. That is a really good thing about McLaren. As in, they've got a really open book, open mind about.
Because we don't see much like Porsche exclusive stuff, do we? It's very rare you see a GT3 that's completely bespoke and different to other stuff. A bit of interior work here and there, fine, but otherwise they don't really seem to do much.
No.
Anything else that we're forgetting in that customised? What Lambos? What do they call it? They do have a silly name for it.
They do, yeah.
The personificata.
Ad persona.
There you go, ad persona.
Yeah. It's a little bit like Ferrari, but it's actually like the boring part of Lamborghini.
You're right. It's sort of almost like a half-assed boring part of Lambo that doesn't seem to quite work out. I thought it was an interesting topic, though, because, as I say, it feels like the last two or three years, it's really come to the forefront. This kind of idea of, I've got so much money and I'm so obsessed with my social media that my car needs to be so different. Mm-hmm. I can't just choose something from the standard options. I need to really go out there. And even Aston, you can go and they have the whole Q range now. And you can, you know, everyone offers these levels of bespokeness, basically ways to spend more and more money to get these cars, which you're going to end up spending through the roof on to then lose even more on.
Yeah, because you become less desirable.
Way less desirable. Yeah. We've got this super bespoke car that no one else really wants except you in quirky colours that you've paid through the roof for. And I don't really see the appeal, I suppose.
No, me too, mate. I don't get it, really, to be honest.
What are you going
to
do with your Gemera?
We're going to do it.
What?
I don't really know yet.
I haven't been
to the factory yet. They're going to fly me out.
Okay, well, look, let's get into today's main topic, something that I've been sort of holding off asking you all week because I've been too nervous by the answer, is what are your thoughts, T-Dog, on how COVID-19, giving its official name there, may affect the car market? And let's start with the obvious, which I suppose is the top end stuff. I'm talking 150K plus.
So I would think, I mean, I don't deal in that market essentially. I deal in predominantly 100 grand down stuff. But I would think that market is dead at the moment. I mean, the whole car market is not great at the moment, full stop. How long that lasts for, no one knows. We don't know the effect. The only thing is that because it's completely stopped, prices probably haven't really changed a lot, because the only thing that probably has changed is if you've got your car in the auction now or you're trying to sell it now, you're probably going to take a really swift kick because no one's really buying anything at the minute. You'll get some people that buy and some dealers that will buy and they're real cash rich but they're going to really kick you hard because it's depressed time. That's what's happened. And essentially, that's how they make their money in this depressed time. You know, they've got the money and they go in hard and they do well. But for cars that are probably on the market already, big dealerships and stuff, I don't see any real panic yet. And I don't know whether that's going to happen. Because if no one's buying anything or no one's selling anything, prices can't really change, can they? As in, if there's no market, mate, there's no market. So they've just got to stay as they are. So yeah, I don't really know yet. It's all a little bit uncharted territory.
Yeah, which I guess is across the board. But that was kind of my feeling as well, that it's more of a stagnant market than a tumbling down one. And I think, you know, a lot of the people on my Sport Classic video where I was claiming it's a 300 grand car were saying, oh, it's going to be worth about 100 grand 2 weeks' time.
No.
Because that's only the case, you know, if it really gets to a desperado situation in 18 months' time and people are desperate to get out of cars. But even still, I think those are going to be kind of quiet off the table, you know, behind the back
door. This is
door
a temporary
deals.
Measure. Don't forget, this is not like the bank crisis where we knew it was going to be years. This is a virus. This is a disease that's spreading across our country, which is a temporary measure. The only thing is we don't know how temporary it's going to be. Is it going to be weeks, months? You know, like we've already just said that China are coming out of it and they're not reporting any cases and they're couple of months in front of us, I guess. So if we've got anything, and that's where it started, don't forget. So it was always going to be worse there than it was across Europe and across the world, because that's where it started. So
if you were a buyer, if you were someone who's maybe sitting there and you had already planned that in the first 4 months of 2020, you were going to go out and you were going to buy a car for 200 grand. And you were like, yeah, that's it. I'm replacing my Performante. What am I going to go and buy? Is it a case of now's the time to be ballsy, to be aggressive, to go hunting after that car and say, you know, try and get a good deal? Or is it a matter of like, look, suck it up, the cars are the cars, you know? But that's my kind of, you know, what's your...
The thing is with the internet now, mate, is that no one, the old days, us dealers, we used to be able to mark cars up, so we'd have showrooms. But now we can't do that anymore because... You lot can see.
Everyone
knows the price because everything's there. So short of you ringing around every dealer and trying to insult them all by saying, oh, we give you 30 grand less for it. I mean, they're just not going to do it, you know? So as on as us as an industry, and we're already starting to see some help from banks and advertisers where, you know, we can't have the market crash. So if we all stick together as dealers and not be silly, we will dictate the market anyway. We'll dictate the prices of them because
they are what they are. It's kind of like almost holding your nerve as an industry, isn't it? It's like, you know, if we all stick together, the cars are what the cars are priced at, and that's it. And if one person starts to go and starts selling 720Ss for 100 grand, then everyone's 720Ss is going to fall out themselves.
Yeah, but then it all corrects itself because the people that have got the 720Ss, then that are trying to sell them, you know, it's only short-term thing. It all comes back round. Yeah, because when you replace that car again, you're then giving 80 grand or whatever for them and they're not 130 like they were. So, yeah.
So it's not necessarily yet a time to be like either an opportunity or like, you're going to have a kicking if you need to sell fast is what you think, but it's not a time to necessarily go trying to get crazy deals on cars.
Not from a dealer point of view. I mean, we're certainly not panicking. I'm not sure about other dealers. I can't speak for them. But at the moment, we're certainly not going to panic and, you know, lose load at tens and tens of thousands of pounds binning all our stock off. What's the point?
Sure.
Because you only got to go and replace it.
Yeah, it's a bit awkward if 2 weeks later they're like, Corona's gone.
For sure.
Oh, no.
And as well, at the moment, like, there isn't really a lot of stock about because people don't really know what's going on. So, We just got to sit tight for the minute. I'm not saying that we're not going to lose hundreds of thousands of pounds. I don't know.
Yeah, no one knows.
No one knows.
This is what got me down today, Tony.
Yeah, we're all braced for it. We just don't know. But at the moment, I think the market is fairly stable. There is a lot of uncertainty, but no one's buying anything at the moment.
Yeah.
But no one's selling anything.
Yeah.
So
it's just a sit tight and see, isn't it?
Sit tight, yeah.
And just a reminder to everyone, we have recorded this, as I say, just in case you've skipped forward, last Thursday, basically, when you're listening. So we are a little bit behind and things could have changed, things could have developed. So just in case we're a bit outdated on some of the things we're saying and you're now all living in you're all being welded into your houses and whatever.
If you type Gravelwood car sales in the website, don't come up.
Blame again, the internet provider, because yeah. Tony will still be there trying to sell cars. Is it any different at the lower end? I mean, have you still got, you know, some stuff coming and going? Because I would assume, from what I've seen, people still do need cars to get around and stuff like that. So,
but I just think everyone's whole... I mean, no, the answer to your question okay. is, it's just, honestly, it's like someone's turned a tap off.
So basically, apart from Shmi and TGE, no one's buying cars.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not really going to say anything about that.
No, but, okay, fine.
I mean, I'm sure some other people are buying cars, and don't forget, people will be still taking delivery of their new cars. But normally this time of year, we're inundated with stock. So, you know, we have dealers call us up and say, right, this car's here that you've priced up, because people are getting their new cars, all the part exchanges start coming through. That's not happening.
That's not happening.
Like, you know, people probably not getting their new cars. And it's just a vicious circle, mate. It just does that.
See, so. I was hoping you were going to say, oh, I think, you know, this is not price correct, but I thought I could steal something, you know, because I feel like, let's pretend, worst case scenario, we go through a bleak few months, you know, like it gets bad and people are trying to get rid of stock. I was like, there's going to surely be some deals to be taken advantage of, 458s for 90 grand or, you know, like I felt like that was going to have to happen. But you're kind of saying to me, you, at the moment, as things are, maybe don't see that happening. It could, but actually it's more likely everyone's going to just hold tight and then...
Yeah, I mean...
damn it.
I mean, someone a 458 that's 150 grand or 140 grand is not suddenly going to be 90 grand overnight. I mean,
really hoping I mean, that it's was not going to be the case. Not that I've got 90 grand.
Yeah.
I'd have to be calling Magnitude Finance going, do you guys still lend money? How does this work?
And if it was 90 grand, your 360's 30.
Oh, I'm fully aware of that.
So that you know,
at least I own pretty much all of my 360s.
Yeah.
So but, like, thank God.
Yeah.
Not the same for the 911, but...
exactly, that's another one.
It's a bit of fun, that car. Yeah. No. Oh, God. Anyway, following on from our chat last week about Lamborghinis and my desire...
Are you a fan now?
Well, people got in touch. Thank you so much to all of you that got in touch. A lot of people, strangely, got in touch with Performantes, old Performantes, which I guess is a convertible Superleggero. This is the problem. They made so many Gallardos.
I mean, I don't know.
Mate, so many.
Yeah.
But there are a few around, and that is hopefully going to happen, including, I learned that, Lamborghini made 10 manual Gen 1 Superleggeras. Who knew? Factory.
And are they worth a few quid? I mean, I
guess
know.
So. I was too scared to ask. Somebody got in touch with me from Switzerland who's traded one, and he said, I can help, you know, once the world's gone back to normal, I'll go out and check it out. I was too scared to say, like, and how much more are the manuals? Because I'm guessing one of 10, probably quite a lot more, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
No, I know. You're looking at me blankly.
Not a clue.
No, not a clue. But I still do have this slight... yearning potentially, but unfortunately,
you don't like convertibles.
No, that's what I mean. Stick with the Superleggero. I do still have this yearning, but I need to go and drive one, because all I can do right now is keep thinking about the Mercy SV. And so many people will be saying, when's that video coming? It is coming, but as I explained,
it's not out yet.
Yeah, at the beginning of this podcast, I've had to build up some content to drip feed.
Okay, fine.
So, yeah,
have you been doing that?
Yeah, that was so. I think, like so many other creators, we did see this coming slightly. So I tried to kind of build up a load of content. And so my plan for this whole year was to do one video a week. Mm. Change from following on Drive the World was to slow down and focus on quality, not quantity, make content on stuff that I really wanted to film, not feel that need to upload. Because that's a big issue with YouTube is feeding the machine. Mm. So I was like, I'll slow it right down. So that means that I went out, I filmed like 4 or 5 videos. That kind of sets me up for 4 or 5 weeks. It's going to be a bit weird though, because the videos will feel a bit outdated, I suppose, as time. And I don't like being that far in advance. You know what I mean? Like, you're not that relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to try my best to keep filming stuff, but I've got backup options. So I don't want to rush them out in case we all get into lockdown and then it's me making coffee. Those vlogs will be real interesting.
Yeah. We're in here again.
Yeah, I know. We're going to be locked in here. This is what we're choosing to do, isolation. We'll be doing live streams. That'll be the next thing, me and Tony, for 14 hours live on Behind the Glass. Well, anyway, look, it's a slightly shorter episode than usual, but given the circumstances, there's not a lot going on in the car world for us to discuss. But what is exciting is next week's episode for you guys is going to be the long-awaited Ferrari special.
That's what we're doing after dinner.
That is what we're doing after dinner.
Right.
You just, like, we're recording that next. It will come out next week because, yes, Behind the Glass is remaining a weekly podcast. So do not fear. We are not going anywhere. Yeah, Ferrari special coming soon. And then potentially to test our dial-in capabilities, if Tony and I are still in the same room, I want to attempt to have a few of you call in as we're recording to ask us some questions. So stay tuned on that if you are intrigued. Oh, mate, I've got it all figured out.
Really?
Yeah, but if you have to call me in, then people can't call it. Do you see what I mean? So it's only if we're together then I can get people to do that.
Right.
And I have to trust people with my mobile number, which might not go well.
No.
Anyway, if you have enjoyed today's podcast, please give us a thumbs up. If you've been watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and turn on notifications for future episodes. And if you've been following us, make sure, if you've been listening to us, sorry, there we go. Make sure to keep, Tony's eye rolling. Keep following us on whatever platform. And what do they need to do?
Subscribe.
Oh, give us a review.
Review. Yeah, what is that? Is that my?
That was your bit. Yeah. Okay, anyway, sorry. You'll learn that for next week. So yes, stay tuned. Next week. There you go. Next week will be that Ferrari special. See you soon. Bye bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.